Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What's going on, KOP Nation? It's Tanner Lee here doing something we don't normally do over here at the Kicking Out Podcast, and that's a early week little summary podcast. But I felt bad that we didn't go live last night with any kind of KOP. We took the night off not only for Easter, but also because WrestleMania Night 2, more so WrestleMania Night 2. You know, even though we're a podcast that primarily talks about All Elite Wrestling, AEW, if you will, we do dapper about some other promotions from time to time, especially WWE, especially when it's WrestleMania season. Let's be honest, whether you like WWE, you don't like WWE, WrestleMania is the Super Bowl of professional wrestling for a majority of wrestling fans out there. For non-wrestling fans out there, they all know what WrestleMania is. It's the showcase of the immortals, if you will. It's a spectacle. It's all those sorts of things. And now, you know, you got two nights ever since 2020. So with all that said, I thought I'd sit down for a little bit and give my thoughts on WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2 before Monday Night Raw on Netflix, the normally hyped Raw after WrestleMania airs tonight. And then maybe some things I'm talking about here will get answered for the better or for the worse tonight on the Raw after WrestleMania, or maybe they just won't get answered. And then a lot of things I'm going to gripe at here momentarily, I'll still be griping at when we come live to everybody this Sunday night. When we're back on the air on the Kicking Out Podcast Facebook page and YouTube channel live at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, since I was just bringing that up, I should say for the first time ever, the Kicking Out Podcast Predictions title is going away, going outside any member of the Kicking Out Podcast. That is because JPJ, our good buddy of Love Wrestling's Between Two Beards and a few other programs that he does, defeated our very own Paul Zartman in their WrestleMania predictions challenge. So defeated him by 5 overall points. JBJ had a 7-point lead after night one, WrestleMania going into night two. Paul tried to come back, beat JBJ overall for night two, but only by 2 points. Therefore, JBJ won by 5 points. So Shep will be shipping out the title, shipping out to Boston, as they say, to JBJ. And he will be our KOP predictions champion going into AEW Double or Nothing next month, and we'll see if Shep or myself or Paul can get that title back, even though there's discussion about possibly doing a tag team predictions where it's JBJ and Pluggo against myself and Shep, kind of 2-against-2 type thing, to see if KLB can't bring back the KLB predictions title from Between Two Beards, since, you know, Pluggo wants to take ownership of this title as well. And so does Drew over there, JPJ's other partner on Firmly WWE/AEW, their recap show they do on Love Wrestling. So everybody's trying to freebird the KLB predictions title because they want it that bad. But and then Paul's the one that came up with that tag team predictions idea and taking himself out of it since he cost KOP our title. But nonetheless, let me get right into WrestleMania. Just get to go in order on the card. Night one started exactly how I thought it should, with Gunther defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Jey Uso. Everybody in Allegiant Stadium was eating. They were, you know, just going wild when Jay came out. And this was a feud that really gained some steam the last few weeks, building up to WrestleMania. For the first month and a half, the build was one of the worst builds for the entire two-night card. But once Gunther bloodied Jimmy up, everything got pretty personal there. And Jay cut a hell of a promo on going into WrestleMania. And this was a fun match. I thought it was a good way to get things started, good way to get the crowd in Vegas hot. And Jey Uso defeated Gunther by, delivered a German suplex to Gunther, hit a spear on Gunther, followed up with a trio of Uso splashes, and then beat Gunther by making Gunther tap out with his own finishing submission. That is the sleeper. So, a cool moment after the match. Jimmy Uso coming out to celebrate with Jay. So, all good there. All good there. And then if you watch the post-Mania Night 1 presser, I think Jay had a couple cocktails, maybe a couple bottles of his favorite liquor. Because I think our guy there, our Eat Man, was pretty popped. But good for him. The fourth Samoan ever to be a world champion, joining Yokozuna, The Rock, and Roman Reigns. So we'll see where the Eat era goes starting tonight on Raw on Netflix. Next up was the War Raiders defending their world tag team titles against the New Day. Like I figured would happen, the New Day came out victorious. Yet again, holding the tag team titles. Pretty underwhelming match, a match I didn't really care about, to be honest. Thought we might get some involvement from Big E, but that wasn't the case. So Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, even though they didn't get the win cleanly, they go over. And over Eric and Ivar of the War Raiders. So we'll see. We'll see what the New Day's got in store for us going forward. Naomi against Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill, formerly of AEW, TBS champ, that only lost once in the company, and that was to Chris Statlander in her last match with the company. This was a personal feud as Naomi put Jade on the shelf for a handful of months there. Jade got the win. I thought both ladies were pretty good in this match. Jade showed off her strength. I think Naomi, the heel character, fits her perfectly. It's fresh. I like it. Jade needed this win. She has yet to have a big singles victory since debuting in the WWE, and to do it on the grandest stage of them all at WrestleMania was just what she needed, I thought. So no problems there. LA Knight defended his United States championship against Jacob Fatu. I was wrong here. I thought LA Knight would get the win, even though I thought the right move was having Jacob Fatu go over, as the WWE did as well. I just thought Solo Sikoa might get involved and either purposely cost Jacob Fatu the chance to win the United States title or accidentally cost him. That wasn't the case. So we didn't really get any further storyline here in this match. This is a match I kind of felt like, with a few other matches on the Night 1 and 2 WrestleMania card, that could have been on a Raw or a SmackDown instead of Mania. But in the end, Jacob Fatu beats LA Knight, showing off his athleticism. And the Samoan Werewolf now has got his first singles gold in WWE, and you know what they like to do. They like to put the mid-card titles on guys to see how it goes before they strap a rocket to them and shoot them up to challenge for the WWE title or the world title. So looking forward to Jacob Fatu's reign as United States champion. I think he'll hold it for quite some time. El Grande Americano faced Rey Fénix, another talent formerly of AEW. It was supposed to be against Rey Mysterio, but Rey Mysterio legitimately got hurt on Friday Night SmackDown, the go-home show going into WrestleMania. So insert Rey Fénix. So both Fénix and Penta, both new to the company and both getting spots on WrestleMania, their first opportunity to do so. In the end, El Grande Americano got the victory. Cheated to do so with that metal plate in his mask. But got the ankle lock in on Fénix. Fénix countered. And then Americano kicked out, sent it to the top rope, hit that diving headbutt with the metal plate. So Fénix was not victorious in his first WrestleMania match, but still a good spotlight for him. I thought he showed out for a spot he was just thrown into in the last minute. So good for this El Grande Americano guy. Just too bad Chad Gable couldn't get on the card, but this guy could. So, and I got to say, that 450 splash he hit was pretty damn impressive. Pretty damn impressive. So Shawn Michaels, HBK himself, one of the greatest to ever lace up the boots, come out and announce an attendance of 61,467 people for Night 1. After that, we got the WWE Women's Championship match between Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair, one that I personally thought this build was about as bad. Definitely the worst championship one-on-one build we got going into WrestleMania, but I thought this build was as bad as about any on the card. With that said, these women were pretty physical with each other. Tiffany Stratton chipped a tooth. But in the end, a good call by the WWE, right call in my opinion, having Tiffany Stratton successfully defeat Charlotte Flair. I think that takes her up on another pedestal. Doesn't hurt Charlotte at all. And we'll see where Charlotte goes from here. We'll see if she tries to get another rematch with Tiffany at Backlash or where she goes and who might be next to step up and try to take the WWE Women's title off Tiffany. After that, the WWE Hall of Fame Class 2025 took their place on stage. Celebrate their inductions. I thought it was really awkward, to be honest. Bret Hart and Stone Cold were out there. I got a huge reaction from the fans. Everybody else was out there except Triple H, and Triple H makes his entrance with his King of Kings music. Had to do his spit into the camera, goes and handshakes everybody from left to right on stage, even though Bret Hart did not look thrilled to be there. One person in the Hall of Fame induction class of 2025 that was missing was Lex Luger. I guess word on the street is he chose to go to WrestleCon instead of appearing at WrestleMania. So interesting to see if anything comes out of that. I doubt it will. But good for Lex finally getting into the Hall of Fame, long overdue. And the Hall of Fame is interesting to me. It doesn't feel like as big a deal as it used to, because it feels like there's people getting in that, in my opinion, didn't do a ton to get in. Not saying Lex Luger. Lex Luger deserved to be in years ago. Unfortunately, his relationship with Vince McMahon postponed that for a while. But there's some people, it just feels like they're throwing them in to throw them in. And then there's obvious ones that aren't in yet, and it's like, why is he or she not in? A couple guys I can think of are The Rock. Well, The Rock's still semi-competing, I guess, every once in a while. Dave Bautista should have been in a couple years ago, hasn't been in. The female side, Chyna, she's in as a member of DX, but she's not in individually. So, I don't know. I think the Hall of Fame would be a lot cooler if there was an actual physical Hall of Fame that people could go to, see the statues or the buffs, I believe they're called, as they're called at other sports Hall of Fames, and see memorabilia and that sort of thing. But there's not. So, and the main event for night one, I thought night one was pretty lackluster overall. I'd grade it about a B-, but with that said, I thought there was a fun opener, and I thought the main event was awesome. I thought night one's main event was great. The triple threat between Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and CM Punk. CM Punk finally getting his long-awaited WrestleMania main event match that, quite frankly, one of the reasons why he exited the company back when he did in 2013, 12 years ago. Of course, Paul Heyman comes out with CM Punk, Living Color, plays CM Punk down to the ring. Good match. Every guy got their shit in pretty well. Had some close calls. But in the end, the spot that everybody was talking about was Roman Reigns, CM Punk are both on one side of the ring on their knees looking at Paul Heyman as Seth Rollins is on the other side down on the ground. Paul Heyman grabs a chair. Who is he going to slide it to? Is he going to slide it to one of his lifelong best friends, CM Punk, or his tribal chief, Roman Reigns, who he's been alongside ever since COVID in 2020? And really, that whole storyline with the tribal chief and the bloodline really turned things around for WWE this last 5 years. That moment when the camera panned over from the side of Roman Reigns and we saw Paul Heyman is when things really started getting hot, in my opinion, in for the WWE. And he slides it to CM Punk. Roman Reigns can't believe it. Heyman gets in the ring with Punk. Punk's going to hit Reigns with the chair. Boom, low blow, nut shot from Paul Heyman. Roman Reigns is ecstatic. Roman Reigns hands his tribal chief the steel chair as Roman Reigns hits Punk with three or four chair shots right in the back. And Paul Heyman's telling him, my tribal chief, he's right there. He's right there. Talking about Seth Rollins, who has then stood up and has his back facing Roman Reigns. It looks like Roman Reigns has finally got to give Seth that chair shot. That chair shot that Seth has given Roman not only once when the Shield broke up, but last year at WrestleMania 40, night 2 in Philadelphia, when Roman Reigns lost his WWE Undisputed Championship against Cody Rhodes. But just when it looked like Roman Reigns was going to hit Seth Rollins in the back with that chair, boom, another low blow and a nut shot from Paul Heyman to his tribal chief. And he grinded that forearm a little bit, added some extra pizzazz to that nut shot. Seth Rollins smiled, grabs the chair from Paul Heyman, hits Roman Reigns with the chair like he has done so many times, falls up with a curb stop for the 1, 2, 3. This is one of the stories and angles I am very intrigued in going into tonight's Raw after WrestleMania. Why did Paul Heyman do it? How long has he and Seth Rollins had this plan? What's next for everybody? Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Paul Heyman. Seth Rollins, I think, is going to be more dangerous than ever before. Here's a prediction of mine. I think either by SummerSlam or after SummerSlam, Seth Rollins will be the one to take the World Heavyweight Championship off of Jey Uso. Paul Heyman was on Pat McAfee's show today. Entertaining as always, as Paul always is, but didn't give too much away as far as why he turned on both men. Even though he said he's pretty much saying he didn't turn on both guys. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, night one overall, I would grade it a B-. Night two, I thought the opening match wasn't just the match of the night for night two of WrestleMania, but I thought it was the match of the whole freaking weekend of night one and two of WrestleMania. These three women, stand up, take your flowers. Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair. As Io Sky was victorious over Rhea and Bianca, Rhea and Bianca's infatuation for each other cost them both. They kind of took their eye off the prize, took their eye off of Io Sky, and in the end, she gets the win. Huge win for her. I think that takes her, just like Tiffany Stratton, to another pedestal. Doesn't hurt Rhea and Bianca. I want to see Rhea and Bianca one-on-one. But it wouldn't shock me if one of those two women get a chance to go against Io Sky at Backlash. That wouldn't shock me at all. But man, these three women tore the house down. Got the Night 2 crowd rocking right away. And you could just tell from the get-go, the Night 2 crowd at Vegas was going to be more amped and into the show than the Night 1 crowd. So I thought the Night 1 crowd was pretty blah, pretty meh, if you will. Thought the Night 2 crowd was very good. But fun match. What a week for women's wrestling. I mean, we got the stellar opening match on Dynamite on Spring Break Wednesday night between Mercedes Moné and Athena. Those women kicked ass. And then we get this match between these three ladies who kick ass. So it's interesting to me. And I'm not a fan usually of three-way matches or triple threat matches or, you know, even really fatal four-way matches. I think it's lazy booking most of the time, more times than not. But the two best matches over WrestleMania weekend were the two triple threat matches. On the men's side, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Roman Reigns. On the women's side, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Io Sky. Both beautifully well done. Cinema for the men's. And just overall good wrestling. With some good storytelling as well for the women. This match was followed up with a really fun street fight. A Sin City street fight. You know, at KOP we laugh. Especially Paul laughs about insert city name street fight. But this one was insert city nickname street fight. Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre. I thought these guys put on a really entertaining match. A lot of table spots. You know, we see Priest trying to go for the dead man walk across the ropes that The Undertaker used to do. McIntyre pushes him off the ropes, not only through one table, but through two. Then hits him with a Claymore kick. Head into the chair. Big win for Drew McIntyre. I'd love to see Drew McIntyre go title hunting. I think Drew McIntyre is a freaking star, man. And the company used them great last year. I'm hoping this win kind of straps a rocket to his back for the rest of 2025 again. Fatal four-way match for the Intercontinental Championship. Braun Breaker defending against Penta, Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio. Fun match that the crowd was really into. Had a lot of good spots. Braun Breaker looked like a freaking, like he always is, a freaking stud. He's a bona fide athlete. Penta looked good. Finn looked good. Dom looked good. They all got their shit in. And in the end, we saw Dominic Mysterio hit a frog splash to break up the pinfall that Finn Balor was trying to put on Braun Breaker after he delivered the coup de grace. But Dom gets the pin on Finn to not only build even more tension within the Judgment Day, but to walk away as the IC champion, Dom's first individual championship in WWE. In the crowd for Dirty Dom, for that punchable heel, loving every minute of it. He got a bigger reaction than Jey Uso. And Jey Uso's freaking over. So, interested to see what happens with the Judgment Day with Dominic, Finn, Liv, all those guys and gals tonight on the Raw after WrestleMania. To see if maybe do they pull the trigger and ride with the hot reaction that Dom got from the crowd and flip him face? Or do they keep him heel? And just ride it out and let him have a long, lengthy heel Intercontinental Championship run. That's probably what I'd do. Randy Orton then makes his way to the ring. I was pumped about this. I'm a huge Randy Orton fan. He's on my Mount Rushmore of favorites of all time. Randy Orton, The Rock, Cody Rhodes. Then that fourth I'd have to put a little more thought into, but those three are easily, without a doubt, cemented in my Mount Rushmore. That fourth spot kind of maybe changes. Stone Cold, probably. Gun to my head. But Randy Orton, his 20th WrestleMania appearance, and we were waiting to see who he was going to face. You know, Nick Aldis was a hot rumor out there. Maybe a returning Rusev or returning Malakai or Aleister Black, even though it looks like Malakai is going to be returning on this Friday night SmackDown, and Rusev probably as early as tonight. But no, it was say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. As Joe Hendry, the TNA World Champion, made his WrestleMania debut. And this wasn't what I'd call a squash match. There was a little offense both ways. The crowd was loving themselves some Joe Hendry, 63,000 plus. But I loved how this match ended with Joe Hendry hitting his signature pose. But Randy Orton connects with the RKO out of nowhere for the win. Then after the match, he helps Hendry up again and hits him with one more RKO before doing his own Joe Hendry signature pose. Randy Orton just having the time of his life, you can tell, in his career. Just loving every bit of it. Loving life. The dude just winning that life. And great for Randy Orton. And I think that's going to be John Cena's first title defense next month at Backlash, since it's in St. Louis, in the backyard of RKO himself, Randall Keith Orton, in his hometown. I think that makes a lot of sense, even though for a long time I thought Randy Orton should be John Cena's last opponent he ever faces, but with the history of those two and that rivalry, but given the cards with Backlash in St. Louis, I think that makes too much sense not to do. Logan Paul, AJ Styles are up next. I thought this match was going to be awesome. With two athletic guys, I thought they'd be a fast-paced. Boy, was I wrong. It was a pretty slow-paced match. It was pretty boring. We did see Karrion Kross try to get involved and help AJ Styles, but AJ Styles wouldn't take his help. Good for Karrion Kross. I think that guy is a great talent who does a lot with the little he's given. You know, I don't care for Logan Paul, especially outside of the wrestling ring, but one thing is for certain, whenever he's in the ring, you can always guarantee he's going to do something crazy, a crazy athletic move to, at a big show, at least to walk away and remember that moment, but not last night as Logan Paul got the win and kind of got a feel for AJ Styles here. I mean, I figured Logan Paul was going to get the win, but AJ's never had a big WrestleMania win. He did beat Shinsuke Nakamura in a match that absolutely fell flat. He beat Shane McMahon in what I think is his best WrestleMania match. If you remember back on WrestleMania 32 in Dallas and his first WrestleMania match after joining the company, he lost to Chris Jericho, which still makes no sense. So as great of a career as AJ Styles has had, Hall of Famer for sure, future Hall of Famer, I should say, he's never had that big WrestleMania win, really. So, and I don't know. It feels like this might have been AJ Styles' last WrestleMania appearance. I'm not quite sure. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez then make their way down to the ring to face Lyra Valkyria, I should say, and her mystery tag team partners since they pulled Bayley out, which is a shame. Hate how Bayley gets treated by this company anymore. She's a way too big of a star to get the treatment she does. But the man has returned. Becky Lynch herself returns for the first time in darn near a year. And, you know, I thought Liv and Raquel were going to win the match when the match was originally announced between with Bayley on the team. But right when, you know, kind of putting the cards together that Becky was going to be the surprise partner, I knew Becky wasn't losing. So Becky and Lyra are now the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. And Lyra two belts, as she's also the Women's Intercontinental Champion. So cool to see Becky Lynch back. But, man, I feel bad for Bayley here. So hopefully it leads to a Bayley-Becky feud of some sort. That'd be pretty cool. I could get on board with that. But if not, shame on you. Then we see Stone Cold Steve Austin, what, make his way down to the ring to announce the attendance for Night 2, which was 63,226. So they called Night 1 a sellout, even though it was a little north of 61,000. So head-scratching there, somehow 2,000-plus extra people got in the building. So, interesting. Then we got the main event, Cody Rhodes, John Cena for the Undisputed WWE Championship. And this match, it did not deliver, in my opinion. For a build I really enjoyed for two huge stars in the wrestling world, it did not deliver. You know, John Cena said he's here to kill wrestling. And his style was showing it during this match. A lot of double axe handles, a lot of just takedowns, methodical slow pace. This whole match had slow pacing. And honestly, when I say the match didn't deliver, I thought the match was decent until Travis Scott's music hit. And Travis Scott, the rapper, who we saw smash Cody's eardrum with a slap at Elimination Chamber back on March 1st, makes his way slowly down with his makeshift hardcore title that Triple H gave him. And Cena's smiling, raises Scott's hand, but Cody hits a crossroads, another one on John Cena, goes for the pin. Looks like he has the win, but Travis Scott from the outside pulls the referee out of the ring. Then Cody's telling Travis to come in the ring. He hasn't forgotten about the slap. Cody connects with a crossroads on Travis, but he didn't really, you know, he should have gave him a receipt. You know, he kept saying every time he talked about Travis Scott to the media, he was going to give Travis Scott a receipt next time he saw him. Didn't take advantage of that. Looked pretty stupid, really, doing so. I hate that they make Cody look stupid at the end of this match. Rolled Travis out of the ring, turns around and sees Cena's about to clock him with the Undisputed Championship. Cody grabs it. Cena just begs Cody not to hit him. Michael Cole says something about, you got to make the decision, Cody. Are you going to be a good guy or a bad guy? Which is really interesting because you've never really heard a commentator flat out say it like that before. And Cody just can't do it. And he puts, right when he lets his guard down, takes the title down instead of that position where he might hit Cena with it. Cena kicks Cody Rhodes right in the balls, grabs the championship, clocks Cody with it. Then the ref wakes up. 1, 2, 3. John Cena is your new WWE Undisputed Champion. 17th time, move over Ric Flair. John Cena now has more WWE championships than anybody else. Man. Travis freaking Scott. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? And, you know, show goes off the air with Travis Scott and John Cena. And where the hell was The Rock? No appearance by The Rock. We have not seen him since Elimination Chamber. I just don't understand this. To me, looking back on it, this build didn't need The Rock at all. You could have found another way to turn John Cena heel. Just makes no sense. The Rock's whole involvement ever since, really, the night after WrestleMania last year makes no sense. You know, he gives Cody something in his hand, which we all thought was the Rolex that Cody gave him. And then don't see anything of him. Then he shows up at Bad Blood and does the throat slit against gesture to Roman and Cody. Then that weird ass non-final boss character, you know, I'm Dwayne TKO board member character on the Raw Netflix debut, and that whole weird thing with Cody. And then he comes back and wants Cody Rhodes' soul. And then the whole thing at WrestleMania with the throat slit and freaking Travis Scott, he shows up at Elimination Chamber and then at WrestleMania. Didn't see him in between. And is he going to be a factor going forward? And why? Like, you know, at the Super Bowl, we see A-list celebrities and B-list celebrities all the time, but they don't get involved in the game itself, the sport itself, football. So why are we bringing Travis Scott into the ring and letting him impact your Super Bowl in WrestleMania, the biggest show? And back to The Rock, if they're waiting to bring The Rock back tonight on Netflix, you're telling me you care more about Netflix than you do about WrestleMania. That's a slap in the face to all of us fans of this product. And you made your champion for the last year plus look like an idiot. Why he wouldn't kick Travis Scott in the nuts or give him a receipt or kick Cena in the nuts or go ahead and hit Cena with the belt after everything he's been through. You know, maybe they're going to tell a story where Cody comes back, because I think he's going to take a little time off, and saying, well, I've been a good guy for a while now, and it's got me nothing. It got me a loss. I don't know. Just, I'm still frustrated about it. Still frustrated. Not quite 24 hours removed from it, but it still got me frustrated. For that reason, besides that, I thought night two was great, but night two gets a B. Slightly higher than night one, I gave B minus. And I give WrestleMania overall, for the two nights overall, a B. But I thought night two, I mean, started off great with the triple threat with the women's match. But man, it just, that right when Travis Scott's music hit and he came down, and the fact that The Rock didn't get involved just felt like a big old wet fart, to be honest. Maybe they'll make it all make a reason tonight on the Raw after WrestleMania. I can only hope, because, man, just left a bad taste in my mouth, for sure. For sure. And John Cena on Pat McAfee's show today said he's going to be the last person to hold this title. He's got to walk away from it when he retires later this year, and he's never going to wrestle again, no matter any promotion or any check anybody writes. He's not going to wrestle going forward after 2025, which he's a man of his word, so I believe him. And he said, you know, he's going to take this title with him, with all the lineage, with all the champions that have ever held it before. And WWE's got to start over. Start over with a new title. Whether that be Cody Rhodes holds the title, or Punk, or somebody like Braun Breaker, or Dom Mysterio, I think he even threw out there. I don't remember the exact names he threw out there. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where this 17th title reign goes for John Cena going forward. And he's out to ruin wrestling, everybody. And that's just what he might do. So, and I thought Dynamite this week, a lot of fun. Spring Breakthrough. Collision was good too, but I thought Dynamite was Dynamite of the year, I thought. And maybe one of the top five, maybe top three Dynamites of all time. That's saying something on the historic episode that they pass. WCW programming, excuse me, should say, for being the longest primetime television, primetime spot, longest pro wrestling primetime program. There we go. Words are hard today. On the Turner Network. Great accomplishment. I think AEW is getting hot at the right time, especially if WWE, they drop the ball tonight on the Raw after WrestleMania on Netflix and don't button up a lot of questions. A lot of people might be jumping back over to the AEW airwaves to be checking out the product again. And if they left, bad move on them. You know, there's nothing wrong with liking any kind of wrestling. Watch your wrestling, as we like to say on the Kicking Out podcast. You know, that's what I do. Do I prefer AEW? Yes, I enjoy AEW more than WWE, but I still watch WWE. Especially around the WrestleMania season. That's why I'm talking about it. I just had a lot of feelings and thoughts on the weekend I want to get out to everybody. And since we didn't go live last night, that's what I've done for the past 33 and a half minutes here. But I think I've talked enough, so I'm going to wrap things up. Make sure you join us again, like I said, this Sunday night, live at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our Facebook or on our YouTube channel, as we'll be talking. Shep and Paul might be talking WrestleMania a little bit, but we'll be talking about this week's Dynamite and Collision and everything heading forward into the month of May next month and Double or Nothing, the road to Double or Nothing, seeing how we can get our KOP Predictions title back from JPJ. If you want to support our podcast and look great doing so, go over to kickingoutshop.com. Get some great merchandise. And you can also get some t-shirts of ours on Pro Wrestling Tees as well. Like us on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Kicking Out Pod, also on Blue Sky, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, which we do our podcast live every Sunday. And we have some other fun content as well over there, from interviews to past. We've done draft segments, we've done quiz segments, all kinds of things. So go check it out. And you can follow me on X and Instagram if you want, at TannerLee92. Follow Paul Zartman at PaulZartman87, and follow Shep at TheShep27. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, whether that be podcast or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever, if it's especially Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us that 5-star rating and leave us a review if you want. If you're kind enough, at least please give us that rating. That really helps us out more than I can express. So, and it's a free way to support us. So with that said, join us this Sunday night as we kick out yet another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye, mwah, and good night. Bam!